Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, on the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Hell and High Water with my co-host, my friend, my adopted son, Chuck Ocelli. If you're not familiar with Chuck's work, get over to ocelli.com. There's a live link right here. One of the very few that I encourage my supporters to support. Good morning, Chuck.
Oh, good morning, Mom. You know, it is. Is it yet another morning in America?
Yep.
Have we gone through the night yet? Is there still a long journey through the tunnel? What is happening? Do you even know, Mom?
Listen, you know what? Lately, the past couple of days have taken me back about 40 years, and especially 30 years ago, when I got up on a stage in front of 25,000 people in my hometown of Long Beach, New York, and did an Earth Day event and read Things People Can Do to Save the Planet. There was a cute little book out then called 50 Simple Things You Can Do. And it was everything from putting a brick in your toilet seat to this, that, the other thing. And now here it is, 30 years later, and I'm looking at the news stories that don't involve Trump. And to me, these are still the biggest stories out there, because as I continue to tell people, if the planet dies, you have nowhere to live. Those are the two biggest issues that we should be talking about, to me, is the environment and real and present nuclear danger at any minute of our lives. Everything else is noise, okay? And until people feel and understand that we are killing off our own web of life, I fear for the future generations. And just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, Chuck, just in the past 2 days, some of the articles I posted. First of all, today it's 84 degrees in the Arctic. Okay. Last week, believe it or not, Alaska had warmer temperature than Phoenix, Arizona. 60% of all animal life on this planet's been killed off in the past 45 years. We're not talking centuries. We're not talking, a long time here. The pictures coming out of the Caribbean, where the beautiful Caribbean Ocean is covered with trash, and the stories on more dead whales, frogs, bees, pandas, penguins, an entire race of penguins wiped out in one iceberg drop. These are the things people should be paying attention to, but they're not. Everybody's already complaining how hot it is in Phoenix, okay? It's going to be 91 here in the mountains today, which is pretty normal for us in June. But when I tell people normal weather is not returning, and this is not including weather manipulation or weather created by man, this is just the earth and her screaming at us, and nobody's listening. That's where I thought I'd kick off today's show, because it brought me back to standing on that platform on the beach in front of 25,000 people when I thought we had hope and we had time.
Well, you would think that that things like massive, bunches of tornadoes in the middle of the country.
500. They had over 500 in 30 days.
Well, right. That's why I'm saying that, we're looking at bushels of tornadoes. Not, not the occasional twister that comes through and Annie M and okay, this happens in the Midwest. No. Not the stuff that happens along the coast, because it is a bit of a rough weather. I'm in the southeast of the country. This happens on occasion. No. But this unbelievable grouping of these things, you would think that this would get people's attention, right? you would think that the 99 degrees that we were at and breaking 100 degrees in middle Georgia not very long ago and not in the summer might have said made people say, you know, it's awfully hot. What is happening? Mm-hmm. No, here's what the problem is. You're looking at people to pay attention. How do they do this when they don't seem to recognize the reloaded reality around them, keeping them distracted? I mean, look, you said it takes you back to 30 years ago, it takes you back to 40 years ago. Well, you know, interesting when you got John Dean, you know, up on Capitol Hill being berated by Republicans. Well, no wonder you're feeling a little nostalgic.
Republicans that weren't even born at the time the whole Nixon thing was going on. So I thought he slapped down that Matt Gaetz pretty good.
Oh, no, he did some interesting stuff. But then, I tortured myself by following that. I got to tell you, to try and get people to disengage from whatever it is they are engaged with is the trouble. Do you see the world around you? I mean, really, not you, Mom. Not me. We see the world around us, and we're trying to contend with it. But I tell you that the majority of the population is in such a, I know it's a trite thing to reference, but they're in such a bubble that it's so viscous around them. They cannot see the rest of the world. They are literally reduced to their very own cave. You know, the old concept of the cave and the shadow puppets keeping everybody busy. They are in their own self-created cave with shadow puppets that they believe they have chosen from a menu selected for them. And it's not just the internet reality, mind you. It's something else. I mean, the internet is playing a role in this. But something much deeper is occurring here, where the disconnect from one another and the disconnect from the planet and the disconnect from reality itself on all levels, whether you want to speak about the esoteric or you want to speak about the just common ground of, listen, we're all on the same planet. It doesn't matter. It is all so distorted from within each of these individual bubbles that there is no connectivity. It's like the internet of everything has come together, and you, as part of the original internet of everything, the original connectivity to everything, are now in the disconnected internet of nothing. You understand? It's a very odd thing that has happened, and it's only happened, in my estimation, during this time when all of these die-offs have occurred on the planet. I mean, when the people's, trajectory as far as how long are they going to live is now falling, whether anybody realizes it or not. Sterilization is on the rise. Life itself is under attack. And nobody knows who the enemy is. This is what I'm seeing, Maria. And I know that sounds awfully convoluted, but I'm telling you.
No, I totally agree. Listen, when I started this show, you know, next month I start my 20th year. And that's another fleeting thought I had through my head. How many more years do I want to do this? And I always just get the same answer. Just keep doing it. I'll let you know. But, you know, all those years ago when I first started, and Chuck, in those days I had an audience of maybe 15 people. One thing that I said, and it held true, is that the internet would replace radio, television, movies, retail, you name it. And that's exactly what happened. But I also have said through the years that the internet and social media, even these iPhones, everything has led to us becoming more isolated from each other.
Right.
So, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if you watch Black Mirror, but they just put up the last season on Netflix, so I'm about three in. But what's interesting is they cover all of this. They cover the danger of addiction to social media, the danger of virtual reality in one show where people actually prefer having sex through virtual reality than in real life. And they show the damage that does on people's relationships. So, you know, in a way, they're telling us, you know, there are good guys that put out good stuff in Hollywood to let us know what's actually going on the planet. And people are just looking at it as if it's entertainment. I don't know what the hell I was watching last night, but this guy was trying to make a date online, and he's been out of the dating pool for a while. And he goes to one of these dating sites, and one of his friends is trying to tell him, well, just contact some of these women and get out there. Well, what does he do? He immediately tries to phone this woman off whatever dating site it is. And the woman grabs the phone away from him and says, nobody calls anybody. You text her. And I looked at that and I said, this is the world we live in now, where people don't even want to talk on the phone. They rather just text each other and not be bothered.
Mm. Well, you know, again, Black Mirror is a remarkable piece of work. And you didn't know this, but I recently caught those episodes as well.
Oh, okay. So you know what I'm talking about.
There's only three up in season five, as far as I know. And, you know, actually, I went backwards and forwards on these things and was planning on covering them on my show. so it is, but it's a wild piece of work, that Black Mirror.
Well, you saw, I think, Topher Grace, who's one of my favorite actors, even though he doesn't have much of a part, but I remember him. He started out like on that 70s show where he's kind of playing the Mark Zuckerberg character, where his social media platform actually causes somebody to lose his mind and kidnap somebody and want to kill somebody. When you look at that, I was like, this is so true. And what does he do? He's off on, you know, in the middle of the desert, you know, isolated from everything, trying to get into the zen of life, while he knows that, and you know, what he admits at the end is great. I don't want to ruin it for everybody, so I'll have to stop talking about that particular episode. But when you see, you know, young girls who their only companion is a little talking robot, and she has no other friends, and the robot starts to basically control her with her approval. You know, I immediately thought of, you know, these Amazon Alexas and all this crap. I think it's quite interesting. You know, last year or the year before, when they showed, you know, the social rating, where everybody thought that was never going to happen, and now China has it fully in place. You know, they're telling us, you know, predictive programming, they're telling us, some of them are telling us, you know, and I have to again say, when you look at that, you look at other shows, whether it's Supernatural, Lucifer, or any of these Armageddon type shows, they're telling us what's coming. But people are just looking at it as entertainment.
Well, yeah, they are. And also the fascinating thing here is that there's more than one storyline contained in each of these things that is instructive, mm-hmm. which I find rather fascinating. Now, you mentioned the Alexas and all that, and certainly that's what I thought of that episode to begin with,
right.
which is another episode separate from the social media thing, by the way. But there was another aspect to that. There's actually multiple layers here. There is the use of artificial intelligence and exactly what's going to happen with it. The dangers of utilizing, you know, these very interesting imaging concepts where, you know, people will, and this is nothing new, obviously, the replication of the human mind, so to speak, and what the ramifications of that could be.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost think, excuse me, that that's going to go into sort of a horror show of that kind of sort.
Right.
And it doesn't. Because it winds up addressing a whole bunch of issues, including the utilization of a person or an artist as an icon, and you know,
right,
the dangers of that, exactly.
Well, letting them letting them live after they're dead. I'm trying to think of Whitney Houston. Okay, they're planning a Whitney Houston tour of a hologram of Whitney Houston. So to me, it's
right,
like, it's not enough that their family's blood sucked them till the minute they were dead, but they're going to blood suck off these artists long after they're dead. And of course, that episode with Miley Cyrus was perfect. Okay, it was absolutely perfect. But people don't realize this shit's happening too. It's, some of it's not just futuristic. This stuff is already happening. And, yeah. You know, many years ago, I covered transhumanism on the show. I believe it was, I want to say Daniel Estulin. And, you know, this is their goal, to blend us with machines. And then we're much easier to control. You know, we can live in a virtual reality planet because this one will be, you know, post-nuclear winter. But we'll all imagine in our heads that we're actually sitting around real trees and real clean oceans and whatnot. So, you know, this is a long-term goal of the evil that runs this planet. And you know what? When I look at the environmental destruction humans have done, I go back to an old black and white movie in the 50s where the aliens that landed say, you know what? You people don't deserve this planet, and you proved it, so we're going to take over now. And even when as a child, I said, yeah, they'll probably do a better job.
Yeah, you know, that sort of thing, that's always the flip side of a lot of this stuff where when they pin down these people and ask them why, you know, and I say people, but when they pin down the invaders and why have you done this, you know, and not when they just paint them as the mustache-twirling evil, invader, we're just here to destroy you because we hate humanity, we want your resources. Once you get them past that, it's usually like, well, listen, you had all this. You don't use it right. You're destroying it. We can do better with this than you are, and you don't appreciate it, which is kind of interesting. That didn't come out until, you know, when they got into more textured sort of characterizations of stuff. What's interesting about that episode you were talking about and all of the stuff in the Black Mirror universe, quite honestly, is a couple things. First of all, even beginning with the title, what is the Black Mirror? Well, the Black Mirror is any of those screens, and what does it do? It certainly reflects back at you what you put into it on some level, but also when you turn it off, what are you left with? Only what you can see in the Black Mirror. But, see, that's the thing, is that all the way across this stuff, even when you're looking at the transhumanist thing, and by the way, I thought exactly of the Whitney Houston thing, which is happening currently as we speak. During that episode, and you couldn't help it. It was like on the nose.
Right.
Which is funny because they released this show, you know, well after I saw that announcement about, you know, hey, virtual Whitney is going to be on tour, you know.
Right.
Like, wow.
Well, and you know, I mean, when they show you, and they show you clearly how easily this shit is done, okay? Mm-hmm. And when they show you how it's done, you know, my mind goes to like Elvis, you know, Michael Jackson, you know, some of these big stars. And as it is right now, you know, and I've often thought when children play these cops and robbers games or cowboys and Indians and they shoot each other and how cheap life looks to them, I think about the fact that these kids are watching actors get shot on one show and then they see them alive on another show. So it kind of confuses people to whether this person's still alive or not. So imagine when I watch TV, sometimes it's hard to remember, is this person still alive? You know, I always look at the year something was made before I watch it. And I think in a way, you know, it works even more with kids because, and then you see that kids honestly start to believe they're invincible because they watch their favorite character get blown away every day, and then he's back.
See, I wish it was just that insidious, but to be quite honest with you, because of the convergence of all this stuff, here's the thing. We are often looking at actors who are long dead. We are certainly looking at different realities converging. Look, are we in the reality where the aliens invaded? Are we in the reality where it was Independence Day and we repelled them twice? Are we in the reality where Earth has been taken over by the machines already and we just don't know it? After a while, it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter if these people are alive or dead. It is a numb area. It's not even a matter of impressing invincibility. It's a matter of it just doesn't matter. It's all just a show. And on the one level, you know, you could see that as completely hideous and horrendous. But if you can look at it from a mature standpoint, to be honest with you, Maria, now here's where we might get a little dangerous. It's actually not untrue. You know, all things that have happened will happen and have already happened, right?
Right.
And that is that is kind of one of those dark things that people have tried to utilize for their own purposes. But you and I both know it's also true.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's
a very strange land you get into when you think about the convergence of these different realities, mm-hmm. and life and death, and what is here is only temporary, and you know what has already passed and what shall pass. It's all a thing in motion, but it's not linear. You know, it's kind of strange where it could do a lot of damage to somebody who is maybe too isolated in their bubbles to really understand the world around them. It could do a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. If you're somebody who understands the connectivity of all things, well, you know what? It's not actually all that harmful. What do you think about that?
No, I totally agree. I mean, you know, listen, most people are just busy getting through their day. You know, those are the other stories. You know, 50% of Americans struggle to pay their rent and buy food. 50%. So you look at that. You look at that inequality. You look at, you know, your crazy state, Georgia. Now today, the same governor who passed the fetal heartbeat bullshit bill is passing the castration bill, chemical castration bill. So they want to regulate your sex life down to the last drop. And I'm not saying whether I'm pro or for, you know, chemical castration. It's been proven it doesn't really work. It doesn't stop the urges. But that's a story for another day. But you look at, you know, 9 states that want to take us back, you know, 100 years. You look at how many Americans are struggling to get through. You know, then you look at how much money they waste on these elections that never seem to stop. This campaign that's like a 24, it's every day of your life. You know, one campaign ends, another one starts. And everybody getting caught up in Democrat, Republican, I hate you, hey, you hate me, Nazis at gay pride parades. You look at all the insanity. And I have to tell you, I would say the one thing that links the insanity together is the internet.
Mm-hmm. It is the connective tissue. And, you know, I'm glad you want to get into this because it speaks directly to what it is we already laid down here, and totally unplanned this is, folks. But the thing that I've been following lately is exactly this: that array of people that are allegedly the opposition to this new normal crazy of Trump and the situation there in that reality TV show universe. That is literally driving people's real lives, whether they understand that or not. It's happening, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, even late night comics are commenting on the fact that Americans today are more obsessed with politics than ever before. It's like everybody's talking and worrying about politics. That's what has happened in the last 3 years of this freak show.
Well, some people are finally getting the message, thankfully, though, that if you ignore the politics of what's happening, they will find time to pay attention to you one way or another. Mm-hmm. Some people have embraced that message finally, which is a good thing. However, what they're investing in is just, you know, emotionally and choosing sides as right. If anybody's on theirs is the wrong thing. Now, there's a bit of a juxtaposition here because in this cash grab, which is all it is, of this wide Democratic, you know, array of individuals, what are we at, 22 or 24?
I think it's 24 now.
Okay, fine. You know, but there's also like two guys that nobody's really sure if they actually count. I don't know. There's a lot of things going on there, right? But in that array, you notice there's some real ideas and some real things that are being addressed that are going to just disappear like everything else.
Of course. I mean, I don't remember what state he's governor of, Jay Inslee. He's running for president. But he's a big time. Every time I hear him, I can only come away with the fact that he's a big time environmentalist. Now, right. He wanted the Democratic candidates to have a separate meeting debate on the Green Deal or on climate change. They denied him.
Course.
So they can talk about the Green New Deal, but unfortunately, you know, Ocasio-Cortez is too young to run for president, And my fear is when she's old enough, which will be in about 7 years, it'll be too late. I think it's already too late. You know, I talked about the tipping point on the environment 20 years ago on my show. We were there.
Right.
But people don't want to pay attention. You know, the dead zone in the Gulf is going to be bigger than ever, over 8,000 square miles. You know, Fukushima still leaking into the ocean, looking for permission to dump all that radioactive water at one time into the ocean. An island off Hawaii disappeared. Okay. An island somewhere else in the Caribbean disappeared because of the water rising. And then you got to look at, you know, all that ice melting and how that changes the pH balance of the ocean. Okay, adding, you know, pure water to salt water, okay? But people still don't want to pay attention. And I've had this discussion even when I had Dr. Helen Caldicott on the show with her excellent book on real and present danger, nuclear danger, when Bush was president. I will tell you this, it was the scariest book I've ever read. I had to read it outside, and I left it outside at night so I didn't panic over what I was reading while I was sleeping.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like, you know, I don't have that long on this planet, okay? Even with healthy genes, bing, bang, zoom, maybe I'll see another 20 years, okay? But you're young, you're my daughter's age, you know, my grandchildren are in their 20s. Their friends are having newborn, brand new, spanking new, fresh little babies. And all I can think of is, what world are they going to be living on?
Right. No, I have the one child at the age of 20. I've got the other at the other end of the spectrum. Out of my three, he's 4 years old. You know, and yeah, I have to consider all this. And when I watch, you know, like I said, the environment is one thing. But if we're going to kill ourselves all, you know, eight different ways, you know, why not? It's amazing. Like I said, there are some good ideas that are going to just disappear here.
I know. And a lot of the good stuff for the environment, it's coming through teenagers. It's coming through young people. You know, they have figured out so many remedies. But are they going to be given the funding to actually put it into place?
Well, yeah. And also, you know, the wrestling over whether it's a good idea to grow hemp. You know, I'm looking at...
Right.
My old stomping ground and yours too, you know, New York, I don't know, it went kind of under the radar, but the consideration that they're going to finally decriminalize prostitution, believe it or not, this is part of the equation, because New York is doing some odd things there, and de Blasio's running, again, he's going nowhere, he's a joke, but... You know, he has implemented some interesting things. You go to the Northeast again, Cory Booker addresses, something very key that nobody's talking about. If you're spending most of your money to keep a roof over your head when you can keep a roof over your head, how does the economy function then? Nobody else has ever addressed that that I can recall on a national stage, but he's not going to win either. His ideas will disappear. All of these environmental concepts and discussions, because see, here's the thing about the Green New Deal. It's really not about a solid deal. It's about getting the process started of like, look, we need to address stuff. Let's come up with plans.
Right.
Well,
I forget. I think it was Michael Bloomberg that just said he's going to donate $500 million to shut down all the coal plants in this country by 2030. But you know what? That's too late. That's the way I look at it. 2030, are these people kidding me? Chuck, are you there?
Well, no, yeah, I'm here. It's just I'm sitting here pondering, well, 2030, it's sad that I have to think, well, at the rate we're going, will it matter at all? Will we still be contending with anything by then except maybe survival? I don't know.
Well, yeah, we got that other story. I'm sure you've seen it, of how much plastic humans eat that everybody tested has microparticles of plastic in them. The ocean, the fish, it's plastic, little plastic particles in the air we breathe. You know, I mean, when you look at all of this, you know, and I said this about 15 years ago, the only people that are going to survive what's coming are people that are able to physically mutate. So your body's going to have to be like whistling clean and super strong immune system to be able to mutate to all the effects of all the filth that we've put in our food, our air, our water, our land. And you know, listen, the planet has always had more than enough for everybody, but it doesn't have enough to cover the greed of the top 1% that has destroyed this planet.
Well, see, that's the interesting thing, too, is that if you remember Jacques Fresco and his presentations, and you can disagree with a lot of stuff that he thought about how to manage society and all that, but in reality, if somebody objectively took a look at, okay, here is the living creatures on the planet, here are the existing resources, here is how to manage them without damaging them. If you were to objectively reorganize everything, there would be no issue of, you know, the scarcity, the absolute paradigm of scarcity that runs the planet, that keeps, listen, no matter what, even though there's more than enough food for everybody, there has to be starvation. Even though there's more than enough resources to not do this damage that's being done, you can accomplish everything that's been accomplished if you just take it into a different direction. It's interesting if you look at it objectively and scientifically. But then again, do you really want scientific management to be the key here? Would it be something of interest? Here's the problem. Nobody really knows.
Right.
It's never been done that somebody's ever thought of, well, let's attempt to take even just a portion of the planet and manage it so that there is an equitable, reasonable way of handling resources. And
yeah, but that doesn't work under capitalism. When everything is for profit, when we live in a for-profit instead of for-happiness system. Chuck, we need to take a short break, so hold that thought, and we'll be right back. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Noll Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks.
We change the world one person at a time. Maria leads by example and with integrity. Come join the family at the Maria Heller Show. You are not alone, and there are many people just like you searching for answers to life's questions. There are several options to subscribing to the private, membership-only education that Maria provides. Pick a subscription of your choice. The $9.95 option is open to anyone, and make it affordable for all. Real freedom of thought and speech still exists. It's at maria.net. That's M-E-R-I-A.net.
Okay, welcome back to Hell and High Water. And high water is key for sure. When you look at how many states are underwater, Chuck, and a lot of them are not going to get any federal disaster relief. A lot of farms that are underwater are not qualified for it, because I guess Chuck Grassley's too busy taking the bailout money.
Oh, gee. Has anybody paid attention to how disaster relief is run? Because, you know, I don't know. I thought that used to be a key issue when people were in trouble, and they were waiting for help. You know,
right.
What happened there?
Right. And they can keep waiting. And you know what's interesting? It's always those big disasters. And I saw one guy, by the way, when you were talking about tornadoes, where he actually filmed 5 at the same time, and it, like in his eyes view. But they do always talk about the fact how a disaster like that brings Americans together. You know, you see it time after time. A lot of times they're not waiting for FEMA. They're not waiting for the government. I remember during Katrina how they cried waiting for help. But there's always people that help each other out, and the friendliness begins. Nobody's paying attention to whether you're a Democrat, Republican, black, white, straight, gay, bing, bang, zoom. And a small example of that is last week, my friend and I had a drive, what we call down the hill to the valley, which is, it's an hour-long highway with no brakes. There's no way out, okay, unless you want to just revert, make a U-turn and go back where you came from. It's not like there's any place you can stop and say, okay. Well, all of a sudden, we're zooming on the highway, and everything stopped. All the traffic stopped. The traffic's getting backed up. You don't have any idea what's happening, why it's happening, but you're sitting there for over an hour, okay? But what happens? You watch, and it doesn't happen that often, but unfortunately, I got caught in it a couple of times. Sooner or later, everybody realizes, well, we might as well shut our cars down. Then everybody opens their car door to get some air in the car because it's hot, okay? And then people start getting out of their cars, and they start talking with other people, and they start sharing with other people. And what was funny is I did a Costco run, so I bought one of their super jumbo toilet paper packs. And I said to my friend, if we're all stuck here too long, I got enough toilet paper for everybody. but what was interesting is you see how people change. It just takes something as simple as being stuck in traffic for over an hour. You know, there's always that one impatient person, but then he finally gives in, you know. And my friend even remarked to me, he said, this is the true American spirit. And I said, I know. But why does it have to take a tragedy to bring it out?
Well, it's interesting because there's an arc of behavior that occurs there. And I always harken back to this, and I know my listeners are probably sick of hearing about it, but, when Superstorm Sandy hit the Northeast, right? Mm-hmm. I was there, and I got to tell you that I was in that area where, yeah, we have no power and no way to deal with it for the next couple of weeks.
Right.
And everything stopped, there was just, you can't pump gas without electricity, okay? You can't get deliveries from food places. You can't get a lot of things into an area.
Right. Nobody's computers are working. No one can take your credit card.
There's the other thing. Everybody's plastic money is useless, and you can't go get cash because the ATMs don't have power. So guess what? You're going to write a check over at the bank? Well, they don't have the computers up to check to see if you have your money.
Right. Well, that's why I've always told people to have, you should, I know it's hard, but people should have at least a couple $100 cash in the house. Because we had that here in my town where, we lost everything for over 24 hours and you couldn't buy anything in the stores. Most of them closed their doors. But I went to one store and I said to her, but I have cash. Will you take cash? And she said, oh, yeah. So even though they want to eliminate cash, cash is still king. When the shit hits the fan, cash is still king.
Well, see, to a degree, but here's the problem again. Like you said, the stores close, right? The cash is not flowing except what people had around. So people are starting to trade with one another. It is an interesting thing to watch people start to come together, but this is not a long-term thing that works.
No, that's the shame of it, is that it doesn't last. As soon as the power comes back on or whatever, everybody goes back to what they were.
After a little bit. And quite frankly, I still remark how the churches actually were the place that people went to.
And they were shut out.
And they were actually the best thing for the community at the time because the people that were there wanted to organize and come together and say, look, we're going to get water to everybody first, okay? Because that's another problem. You see, if the whole area is down, so is their water treatment, mm-hmm. okay? So clean water becomes an important thing for an entire area that is dependent upon a delivery system that can't get to them.
Right.
And I was there in the middle of that, and it was difficult, to be honest with you. But you watch people at first sort of be confused and not really know what to do, and then come together and sort of work together. But slowly but surely, they certainly do return to the animals they were, especially when they gain an advantage, and it's really a strange thing.
Right.
So temporarily, yeah, you can bring people together temporarily with a bit of a shock, and awe, if you will.
But you could look at the other side of that, and that's something that, you know, from teaching the medicine wheel all the years that I've taught it, humans have forgotten that we're basically animals. And when it comes down to survival, the animus in us takes over. We know what we need to do to survive, just the same as a badger or a horse or any other animal. And yet we lose that survival tendency and ability because we are so dependent on our government taking care of us, our churches taking care of us, somebody else. But when the shit hits the fan, all of a sudden everybody knows how to fend for themselves.
Yeah, but unfortunately, again, we are animals, yes, but we are a different type of animal in that we're actually better off collectively doing things. It's not always every man for himself is a very common trope, but quite frankly, that is not going to work if you think that, because remember, there were people that were just ill and maybe were homebound.
Right.
You know, so, okay, forget them. I guess they get to die, right? You know, you don't do that.
Well, you always have some rescuers going out looking for survivors. There's always people that do the right thing. But the news never focuses on the people doing the right thing, whether it's the environment, whether it's after a disaster, or even, say, a candidate that's actually got something to offer. You know, that person's never going to be covered on the news. You know,
thing, and if they are, they'll disappear. Like I said, that Cory Booker thing really fascinates me because it's a key thing that nobody talks about. Think about this for a minute, Maria. A lot of people are living on $1,000 a month, literally, right? So when you look at $1,000 a month and you look at housing costs anywhere in the country, and I do mean anywhere.
Right.
How much of that now has to go toward just the roof, not keeping the electricity on,
if you're lucky, all of it. Most people, they say the average rent for a two-bedroom throughout the United States is a minimum of $1,200 a month.
Yeah.
So if you're, if you're taking home $1,000, which I know a lot of people that are, you know, what are you supposed to do to eat? You know, and if you say you're not taking home $1,000, you know, somebody said something stupid shit to me on Instagram this morning, slamming baby boomers because, you know, in his mind, we're all rich. And I'm like, okay, I said the best person on Social Security by the time they take out, now they take out your student loans also from your check. But by the time they take out for Medicare and your secondary insurance and whatnot, I said that senior is probably netting anywhere from $800 to $1,000 a month. That's right. It. I don't know what these people are thinking that, you know, everybody's rolling in dough because they're not. When they raise the price of something, you know, like Trump's tariffs, you know, even 5%, you know, in Arizona, most of our produce comes from Mexico.
Right.
And the first thing I said is, what happens to people on a fixed income? You know, I can tell you, I see a huge increase in my grocery bill, and I buy the same thing all the time. So it's now at least, I said it a month ago, $20 more each trip. It's now $30 more each trip. Same stuff.
Right.
So what happens to people? You know, you see stories about old people eating, you know, cat food and whatnot. But the amount of seniors becoming homeless, the amount of veterans becoming homeless. You know, I think they said there's something like 10 million children in this country that are homeless.
Right.
And yet we have all these empty buildings. There's more empty homes than there are homeless people on the street. We got these empty malls that are never coming back. They could be converted into some sort of housing. But this is not about being a real Christian nation. This is about whoever has the gold makes the rules, and they don't really care about the rest of us.
Well, but that's the thing, is that when you consider that under the best circumstances, you keep that roof over your head, and now you have an allotment left to try and eat, is it any wonder that the majority of what people buy is the cheapest, most harmful food that they can at least fill their bellies with and fill their children's bellies with and so on? I mean, is it any wonder? And what does that do? It creates a cycle. And the cycle is, while you're attempting to survive, you're killing yourself, you're not able to get ahead, and that is the majority of people. That is not, and I'm always amazed by that too. Well, it only costs a couple hundred bucks to do this. You know, not everybody's got that sort of optional, well, I can just pay that or not.
Of course not. Of course not. Most Americans don't have 400 bucks to cover an emergency bill. You know, and I'm not making that up.
That
was, yeah, I took that right off the Federal Reserve's website, you know, in their last survey that they did. You know, the rich are doing great, you know, but it goes back to what my mother used to say, the rich get richer and the poor get screwed. And just look at the tax giveaway last year. And now he's going to borrow another $1 trillion to keep doing the taxes, transferring our money to the rich. He's got these huge bailouts on the farms. Which the small farmer's never going to see. And we're paying for it. You know, this is a guy who criticized Obama's bailouts. But his are, you know, just as big and bigger. And it's already $30 billion for something he created.
See, and then you take a look at the, you know, you get hopeful for a second about, like, the proposals of, like, Andrew Yang. Again, I'm looking at this whole field, and it's definitely a field of people that's going to lose. But Andrew Yang wants to give $1,000 to everybody, you know, monthly, which a basic income, yes, and people go, oh, no, it's socialism. And no, it's a basic minimal income. It would pay that housing bill, first of all, in a lot of places, or certainly help it. The people that think it's just writing checks and it costs money, they need to go back and re-examine how the credit system actually works. You know, because food stamps, people scream, well, that's a lot of money coming out. It's not. It's Agriculture Department credits, which translate into money for some people, but it's not the same as writing a check. You got to really examine how these mechanisms work, okay? There are all these different concepts. Even Bernie Sanders, who's like, you know, hey, look, McDonald's workers need to get paid, and Walmart workers need to get paid. And gee, doesn't it sound awfully familiar that he's saying the government winds up subsidizing the underpaid worker?
Of course.
Well, they certainly do, while they're caught in that cycle I talked about before, where you can't afford to be healthy, and you can't afford to get sick, and you can't barely keep the roof over your head. This is part of why people are so busy that, you know, I guess maybe paying attention to only their own bubble is the only thing they can do. I don't know.
Well, maybe they don't have time.
Is that what the point is?
Maybe they don't. Listen, that's a question I've been asked on so many other shows all these years. But the truth of the matter is, none of this happened by accident. Okay? They forced women into the workforce during the war. They, you know, reduce your wages. People are making the same money now they made in 1970 when you figure out inflation. They keep you working 2-3 jobs, drinking your beer, drugged down on, you know, bad pharmaceutical drugs, to where you're so messed up, you don't have the time, the energy, or even the health to follow what they're doing.
Right.
So to me, it's all been deliberate, and then the grand finale is the whipping people around like they do on social media.
Well, that's the fascinating part of it, is it looks to me like, look, choose which one of your overlords you're supposed to be on the side of, right? Because it's either the grand corporate raiders on the alleged left, or it's the oily oil people on the right. One way or another, pick one. And yes, they're all destroying the planet, and yes, none of them has your interests in mind, but pick a side. Mm-hmm. You know, and also that's another fascinating thing, is that much as things seem crazy and off the rails and really part of a whole new reality, it's funny how the new crazy still goes with the old bosses. And I looked at J.P. Satilli's article. I don't know if you saw this thing. It's huge. I think it's called the Deep State of Denial, Trump's Oily Presidency, or something like this. Giant article explaining that as much as people think they got something different, even those who are on the side of believing that
right.
somehow there was something new happening here, well, the oil industry, which is also the plastic industry, by the way, make no mistake, they're the same thing, which is also interlocked with the big pharmaceutical companies, which is also interlocked with the fact that your kids' school chicken nuggets have plastic in them today. Tyson was recalling this stuff over the past week mm-hmm. because they're finding pieces of plastic. Nobody was hurt, supposedly, but a few complaints, I guess. Anyway, you know, while this is all going on, who is benefiting from all of this as far as the grand corporate scale and how many rich, yeah, the general rich, like the Waltons and everybody else are doing well, sure, which, by the way, would have been the objection under the Clinton, you know, paradigm of business first. But anyway, yeah, they're doing well. But who benefits most? The oil people.
And we subsidize, and let's not forget, we subsidize the oil industry. There was another thing that John Kennedy wanted to get rid of. You know, there was a, like a list of things that got him killed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you know,
the pension allowance was one thing, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, last week, I think, was the anniversary of Bobby Kennedy getting murdered. And when I posted that on social media, I just posted it with everything we've lost since then. You know, when they went through blowing every one of our heroes out of the water, you know, one after the other in the 60s, it really did do psychic damage to every American. And that's what they wanted, same as 9/11, the psychic damage.
Well, what it did is, and in short, this is one of the main theses, I guess, of what it is that that I'm always covering, is that that was a decapitation of any leadership that was looking to shake up the paradigm. That's mm-hmm. what happened during the 1960s and into the 70s, really. But all those assassinations, the COINTELPRO, the destruction of the Black Panthers, all of that came together to decapitate anything that appeared to be actual resistance. This is why I scoff at these people who are talking about, well, I'm part of the resistance today, and I believe in this senator, and they have a great chance. And it's like, you know, much as a guy like even Cory Booker actually has a realistic backstory, he's a human being, actually.
Yeah, he's likable.
What's that?
He's very likable.
No, he's very likable, but I got no use for this guy because I know where he's going.
Well, it looks to me like the corporate media and the powers that be have already picked Joe Biden the Zionist.
Oh, yeah.
And people have forgotten that he's a self-admitted Zionist and proud of it.
Well, look, Zionist, where do you want to go on the guy who... Oh, man, please. You know, there's so much to that guy's history.
Yeah, some people that, you know, they look pretty good. You know, Elizabeth Warren, I mean, man, she's got a plan for everything. I even like, you know, Mayor Pete Buttigieg. You know, there's things about him I don't like, but, you know, you really can pick and choose this time. But yet, all you see is Biden's leading in the polls. Biden's leading in the polls. Well, he's not getting the same crowds Bernie Sanders is. So it's the same railroad. So Bernie Sanders is getting railroaded the same way they did in 2016.
But here's the problem with Sanders anyway, just objectively, as much as I like him, he's not going to do us any favors when it comes to the war powers. He's not going to do us any favors when it comes to the continuous nonsense in the Middle East. And, you know, I hate to say this, Maria, but let's be real for a second. How old is this guy?
I don't know. I mean, he's in his late 70s. Well, I'll tell you what, he's peppier, smarter, and a better speaker than Trump. Trump is no spring chicken either. He turned 73 this week, but it's obvious Trump's senility is off the charts.
Oh, well, look, you know, if your bar is Trump, I mean, where do you want to go?
That's what I'm saying. After Trump, a yo-yo should be able to run for office. A load of dog shit in the street should be able to run for office. So you can't really lower the bar. And I agree.
Actually, old dolls could be vice president. I mean, really.
Well, you know, the old dolls. Well, you know, there's always my dream, which won't happen, is if Bernie picks somebody young as vice president. If he ran with Elizabeth Warren, if he ran with Mayor Pete, if he ran with Cory Booker, you know, it's really going to be about the vice president, I think, if that's the case. But, you know, listen, Americans deserve a young president. They deserve a young, qualified president because the majority of Americans today are young. The baby boomers are on their way out. Okay, we're no longer the majority.
Right.
And people should have real representation. To me, the only real representation we have in Congress now are the new batch of Democrats that got elected in 2018. The rest of the Democrats, they might as well just lay down and die. I mean, all of them should. None of them earn their salary, and none of them are worth a shit.
See, and did any of them, here's the thing, though. I look across the board, and I go, exactly which one of them is doing us any favors right now?
Right.
Because they are bogged down in the clown show of accomplishing nothing. You know, for people who think, oh, well, gee, you know, they're going to keep, they're going to, let me just break it down. They're going to keep kicking this can down the road regarding impeaching this guy, regarding actually addressing the criminal activity that's happening in D.C. They're going to keep kicking that can down the road till the next election. Then they'll keep kicking that can down the road till, well, he's going to be out of office soon anyway.
Right.
And it's just more of the same. It is maintaining the status quo while feigning resistance, while feigning opposition. And exactly who is doing us any favors there regarding this? I mean, seriously.
Right. Hey, listen, you know, they have passed over 200 bills that Mitch McConnell won't even look at. So nothing is going to get done, even if they try. You know, I read off some of the bills that they passed, which were all great. It was the kind of stuff they promised they would do. But you got Mitch McConnell in there, who never seems to die, who made it very clear at the beginning of Obama's administration they were going to obstruct everything he wanted to do, and that's what he did. And now he's doing the same thing. And people are like, oh, we have to vote him out. You didn't vote him in. Look at the approval rating of Congress. These people don't get reelected. They steal their elections.
Yeah, well, there's that. But here's the key to all of it at the moment, which is really sad. I hate to say it because I hate to give this much credit to the orange buffoon. They are running a blockade around, you know, you know how we had the quarantine, which was actually a blockade around the Isle of Cuba during the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Right.
Well, you know, during the constitutional crisis we're looking at right now, the Republicans are running a blockade around this one idiot.
I know.
Okay? That's the truth of it.
I know. And it's not a party anymore. It's just, it truly is just a Trump party.
Yeah.
It's like they all lost whatever little bit of balls or soul they might have actually had. But what's more important than the environment? Nothing. Again, and I don't see, you know, if anybody out there running is running on an environmental ticket, you know, I've been voting green most of my life or independent, I'd be interested in supporting them even though I know their vote doesn't count. So
a lot of interesting aspects to a lot of these Democratic people who are running, but their whole platforms are going to disappear and get swallowed into the actual malaise of, you know, of what has become the Democratic Party, which, by the way, you want to give a good contrast to that. Jimmy Carter is still alive.
I know.
Now, you can say a lot about him, but I got to be frank with you. He is probably the only guy who was president in my lifetime that I think actually wanted to be president and represent the people.
Right.
I really do.
I agree. He was a good president, but don't forget, he didn't even have a choice. It was the CFR that picked his cabinet. So, you know, that's a story for another day because we're out of time.
Yep.
So, Chuck, thanks so much for joining me today in this absolutely spontaneous discussion. Those are usually the best.
Absolutely. Look, and I'm really appreciative that you went on this journey of extemporaneous discussion with me. And it is all part of hell and high water, Mom.
That's for sure. Well, hope you stay dry and I hope you stay cool. So I'll talk to you soon, Chuck.
Absolutely. Thanks.
You're welcome. Chuck Ocelli. Check his work out at ocelli.com. We're all in this together. So the few real voices out there that are actually telling you the truth and understand where you're coming from, we're here for you and you're here for us. And that's the way it's supposed to work. Anyway, thanks for supporting the show. I'll see you guys on Thursday when I'm back with the news.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.